This is the Blind Geek Zone. This is Blind Geek Zone live cast number 1 for September 23rd, 2010. Well, this is certainly different. Normally, I sit here and record these podcasts on Goldwave, do all my editing, and then get them out to you guys. But what we're doing today is this is completely live. And for those of you who are listening, you will be hearing me. A couple people said they could hear my Jaws synth. That's normal for what we're doing here on the BGZ livecasts, because sometimes I'll be demonstrating things on the computer and you'll need to hear my Jaws throughout the presentation. So that's completely normal. Don't worry about that. This isn't a music type of podcast or anything like that. I was just playing some music through the iPod while we were waiting for the for 2 o'clock to show up here. But all right, this like I said is my first attempt at a live. Well, you can't really call it a podcast. I guess I'll call it a live cast. And how I'm doing this is I'm using a program called Streamer, which is available as one of the options with Station Playlist Studio. And the reason I'm not using Station Playlist Studio here to do this is I really don't need a playlist set up. I just need to be able to stream out to the internet. And this works perfectly. Normally it's $99. And since I purchased it alongside the SPL standard studio program, I was able to get it for far less. I think I paid $29 for it. So it's a great little program for what I'm doing here, because it allows me to broadcast everything out that I want to, even my Jaws if I want to. So, okay. What we're going to start with today is I'm going to tell you how you can interact with me, because that's one of the big things we want to do here is we want people interacting. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me using the name Rickster the Geek. That's R-I-C-K-S-T-E-R-T-H-E-G-E-E-K. That's all one word. And if you're not familiar with Twitter already, that's www.twitter.com, T-W-I-T-T-E-R. And it's a microblogging service that you can put out small messages real similar to text messaging. And people follow you and you follow them. And that's one of the ways I really like to interact with people these days. And you can interact with me there today. I'll be checking that throughout our live cast here. And if you have a question or a comment, that way I'll be able to answer it. If you're not using Twitter, you're not interested in using Twitter, that's fine. For now, we have another way you can interact with me as well. You can send me an email at rharmon, that's R-H-A-R-M-O-N, at blind-geek-zone.net, and I'll be checking those as well, so you can send questions and comments that way as well. Hopefully, here very soon, we're going to have a capability that you can call into a voicemail number that you can leave messages, and then I'll get an MP3 here that I can play, you know, directly out on the stream. I don't have that set up yet, but hopefully very soon. Another thing I would really like to be able to do here real soon is Skype. And I've got to determine how I can integrate Skype here into the stream. So that's not done yet. So for now, the only way you can interact with me is through Twitter and through email. But that will be fine for now. All right. First things I'm going to talk about today, as I said, are going to talk about a couple external batteries I want to demonstrate, or, well, not really demonstrate, but just talk about them. They're really useful devices for cell phones, iPods, and the one, lots of other things. And the first one I'm going to talk about, just USB-powered devices. But okay. The first battery here that I'm going to talk about is called the GUM, G-U-M, Pro 4400. If you look that up on Google, if you just Google GUM, G-U-M, Pro 4400, you'll find it. A lot of places sell it. Amazon.com is one of the places that sells it, and it's where I bought it. It's a nice little battery. Fits in your hand. Matter of fact, fits right in the palm of my hand, and it delivers 4,400 milliamps of power, and that's a good deal of power. It can power anything that you can plug into USB. The output plug on it for power is just a standard USB port. So something like an iPod or an iPhone or a lot of the cell phones out there now that plug into USB for power charging, this will charge it and also allow you to use it. It can deliver 1 amp of power out for use at any time. And I've used it here for several things. I use it on my cell phone, my HTC Ozone that I've talked about before on my podcast. I can use it to charge that or actually power it. I also can use it on my iPod Touch to power it and use it. Matter of fact, I was messing around with it at one point, and I got about 25 hours out of it just using it off and on and, you know, just doing various things with it. And, you know, that's a lot of time, so... It charges via USB as well, or realistically, it could charge through a AC charger or a car adapter as well that has a USB mini tip on the end of it, and those are actually readily available. I have a couple here. So you can either charge it through a computer or an AC power pack, or a cigarette lighter plug on a car. So makes it very, very flexible, and it's like I said, it's very, very small. Easily fits in a pants pocket or a shirt pocket or whatever. It's very light. Don't know the exact weight, but I'd say it's no more than 5 or 6 ounces, I would guess. It's not very heavy at all. Has an on-off switch and 3 LED lights to indicate charge. You know, of course, we can't use the LED lights, but the on-off button is extremely easy to use. It's just a slide button. Amazon customers reported that some of them had troubles with the button. The unit I have here is just fine. It slides on and off, stays in place easily, and very easy to tell whether it's on or off. Some people were saying it slid for them way too easy, and I just wanted to say I definitely do not have that problem here. So it's a good battery. I definitely recommend it. It's believe it's $59 at Amazon.com if you're interested. And if you want to look for it there, you just, in the search field, just type in GUM, G-U-M, space, Pro, P-R-O. And you should be able to find it easy enough. And another battery I have here, and boy, this guy's a big battery. Not necessarily really, really big in size, but big in power. This next battery, it's a Energizer battery from Energizer, you know, the maker of batteries, you know, the Energizer Bunny. This charger delivers 8,000 milliamps of current, and it's It's considerably bigger than the Gum Pro, but still, it could easily fit in a large pant pocket without any trouble. Its size is roughly, I'd say about the size of the Victor Stream. Maybe just slightly thicker and just slightly, maybe, you know, more width and length, but very, very little. It's almost identical to it, actually, when I put them side by side. Now, the nice thing about this battery is, in addition to being twice the power of the other one, is it can power a number of things. It has a standard USB output for delivering 5 volts at standard USB levels. It also has, and I haven't used these, but somebody's described these to me. It has a 9.6 to 12 volt output, and it has a, I think it's approximately a 12 to 16 volt output as well. What this uses is this has all kinds of adapter tips that come with it and lets you adapt it to all kinds of different things. Energizer states on their website that this device is capable of powering a netbook for approximately 3 hours. So it's got quite a bit of oomph to it. Again, it has a lighted status, you know, for charging and things like that. It has a little push button. It's automatic on and off. If you are not using it and you unplug it, it just automatically turns off, but it does have a button. I'm assuming polarity and everything somehow is auto sense. I'm not sure about that because I've looked at the tips and all the tips go in just one way, so I'm not sure how that works exactly, but it's a very, very nice battery. I've used it to some extent too on my HTC Ozone cell phone and on the iPod Touch. It even comes with a adapter tip for an iPod, but if you have your little cable that comes with it, you really don't need it. I just plug it right into the USB and it works perfect. So, and if you're interested in this, you can Google Energizer 8000 XP, and there are a lot of places that sell this. I got a bargain on this thing. I got it on the Woot.com website, W-O-O-T, and I got it for $40, and I wasn't sure what kind of a deal I got till after I got it and seen everything that was with it, and then I started looking it up online. This is normally a $100 approximately charging device, so it's not cheap. But boy, it certainly can deliver the power. I mean, it's a big boy, and it comes with a little pouch similar to, if you have a Book Sense, you'll know what I'm talking about, little bag that you can put it in with a drawstring on it. And, you know, when you're not using it. Like I said, it comes with, I think it's 16 different tips, all kinds of different tips and power sources this thing has. So it's very, very flexible, where the Gum Pro is just basically a USB type of charging device. It charges things that are capable of being charged through USB power. So, hope you found that interesting. I love these batteries. They're very, very useful. One of the things I've actually used this battery for is I have a program for the HTC Ozone cell phone that turns it into a Wi-Fi router. And as you all know, or probably know, the iPod Touch is a Wi-Fi device, so you have to be within Wi-Fi range in order to get out to the internet on it. So what I've done is, I've got this program called, what's it called? WM Wi-Fi Router. It was $20 online. Very good little program. You install it on your Windows mobile phone, and it, when you run it, it turns the phone into a router. And you just use your iPod Touch. You find that, you see that router, you know, it's SSID, and you just tell it you want to connect to it, do the password thing, and there you go. You're connected. It's not a super, super fast stream. I was getting about 25 kilobytes per second out of it. The few times I used it, it's adequate, you know, to get things done. It'll stream music pretty well. Some of the higher music streams, I had some buffering problems, but it certainly is a good thing, and it's allowed me to take the iPod places I couldn't normally take it. And what I do is, it when it's running on the phone, I mean, it sucks the battery like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it just drains it very, very rapidly. And even the GPS, when I'm running mobile geo, it's a lot faster drain on the phone than it would be if you were just talking and or just even using the Wi-Fi, you know, to get out to the internet or whatever. And so what I do is I hook one of these batteries up. Generally, I use the Gum Pro since it's smaller, and I just hook it up to the phone and allow it to supply power. It gives me quite a bit of power for the phone, and I can get extended time out of it that way and be able to, you know, tether the iPod up to the phone and take it places I normally couldn't. So all kinds of useful things you can use these batteries for, actually. So okay, let's see what we got going on here. I'm gonna do some moving around here on the desktop, so you're going to hear JAWS.
Shoutcast Administrator - Windows Internet Explorer.
And this is my Shoutcast panel here. I can determine
F5. Shoutcast server.
How many listeners I've got right now.
Stream is up at 128 kbps with 8 of 1,000 listeners left pair.
And we've got 8 listeners. That's great. That's really, really good. Now we can go over here to Twitter.
Retweeted under mentions :5 of 210 items.
And you'll hear these as I hear them.
Diana at Rickster the Geek just tuned in about 19 minutes ago.
Okay, that's great. Nice to have you, Diana.
Kieranel at Rickster the Geek tuned in about 15 minutes ago.
Okay, Kieran, I think that said. Nice to have you as well.
Diana at Rickster the Geek, how about with Say the Book Sense about 10 minutes ago.
Interesting. Yes, I believe there is a way that the BookSense can run on power, and this certainly would do that. I believe you turn the BookSense on and start using it, and then you would plug the USB into it, and instead of going into a charge mode, it would be able to use it like it was on AC power. I am almost 100% certain that is doable. You couldn't do it on something like the Victor Stream, though, because the Victor Stream just is a power device. It can't run on USB power like that. But yes, the BookSense can, and I'm almost 100% positive that that would be doable with either one of these batteries.
Chris Karsted, currently tuned into a Trickster the Geek's first BGZ live cast. He's doing great so far, about 5 minutes ago.
There's Chris, a.k.a. Toonhead. Great to have you.
Chris Karsted, currently tuned into a...
Okay, and that's all we have there on Twitter. What I'm probably going to do here at some point, you know, this is just the first live cast, so things aren't totally organized. What I probably should do is get Twitter and email and stuff on another computer. I just haven't determined exactly how I can efficiently do that and still do the live cast here, but I'm sure everybody doesn't necessarily want to sit here and listen to the Twitter comments and the email comments, but who knows? You know, let me know what you think. Let's go over to email now and see if anything's there.
Alt tab, FOSC encoders. Alt tab, BGZ inbox - Outlook Express, 27 messages, 6 unread, working online.
Okay, and looks like we have a couple here. Let me see.
Tab, list view, unread, Twitter direct message from Jeff Bishop 9/23/unread. Jose Ortega, congratulations, Rick, for this new getting started 9/23/2010:01 p.m.
Jose.
Unread, Jose Ortega, congrats.
Ortega, looks like he sent us an email.
Enter, jose.ortega@prodigy.net.blank. Blank. Blank. Hello, hello, Rick. I hope you are having a good day today, colon. Blank. Blank.
Yes, I am. I hope you're having a good day as well, and I hope you're listening right now.
Congratulations, Rick, for this presentation. Jose Ortega from Mexico.
Okay, yep. All right, thank you, Jose. And if anybody else is interested in emailing or Twittering, I see it's working, so.
Alt+F4, list.
Let me see what Jeff said here, hopefully.
Home, :99 of the direct messages, :2 of 80th, Jeff Bishop, are you going to archive the show about 22 minutes ago?
Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm kind of hesitant to play direct messages here on the thing live, but he was just asking, am I going to archive this? And yes, I am. I'm assuming that the encoders are encoding and archiving right now as we speak, so hopefully when this is done, there will be a recording of it that I can put up on the website. So let me answer this back in case he's not listening directly.
Control Windows R, direct mess, YES, space, THERE, space, WIL, space, BE, space, AN, space, ARCAIVE, period. Enter, list view, Outlook Express message list, Jose Ortega.
Okay. Yeah, and hopefully that posted. I was trying to post to somebody here earlier on Twitter, and I kept getting a internal error 500 from Twitter. So, you know, that's nice. We love you, Twitter, even though you don't always work like you should. Okay, let's see. What do we want to do next here? What I think I'll do next here is I'm going to demonstrate a nice little clock I got, a talking clock I got from a place online called Beyond Sight. That's www.beyondsight, BEYONDSIGHT.com. It's a place out of Boulder, Colorado. Nice folks. Very nice place to deal with. If you're interested in buying products, they certainly have good prices, and I certainly recommend them. This is a nice little clock. It runs on 4 AAA batteries. It has a large paneled LCD on the front of it, you know, for people that can see. Nice, very, very big LCD bright letter numbers. Like I said, runs on 4 AAA batteries, doesn't run on AC. It's been running here for a couple months, seems to be doing good. It's atomic for the clock timing, and I don't know if it's not getting the signal or what, but I noticed the time has slipped backwards a minute or so here. So it's down here in my basement, so it's possible it's just not receiving the signals from Colorado to update the time via the atomic clocks here in the U.S. It's got several switches on the back that allow you to configure it for the alarm being on and off. Time zone, Eastern, Central, Mountain, Pacific. I believe there's a switch here on the top that on the back that tells whether you're in daylight savings time or not. On the top, there is a round area that has buttons going around it. And I'll see if I can get the mic to pick this up.
Time set.
We have one that has time set.
Alarm set.
Alarm set.
Time.
And time.
It is 2:25 p.m. The temperature is 75.6 degrees Fahrenheit. The humidity is 53%.
And I believe this does Celsius as well. The time is 12-hour or 24-hour time, whichever you prefer. And one of the things you heard it say is humidity. It tells the humidity level. And I've been looking for a long time for a talking device that could indicate humidity level inside the house. And this one does that as well as telling us what the internal temperature is here inside the house as well. It doesn't have a remote or anything for external outside. It's just inside only, but it's quite handy for me, and I like that. Like I said, I've been looking for a long time for a clock that can do that. And then we have...
Alarm on. Alarm off.
We have our alarm on and off.
Countdown timer.
We have a countdown timer that can be set. Let's see here. See if I remember how to do this.
9 minutes, 57 seconds. 10 minutes. 30 minutes. 50 minutes. 60 minutes. 90 minutes.
So it goes in increments of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and 90 minutes.
10 minutes.
And what it will do is it will count down, and when it hits the end, it will trigger the alarm. So that's very useful if you just maybe want to take a nap or something. let's see what else. Oops, let me get that off. See if I can get that off here.
Countdown timer.
Okay.
9 minutes.
Oops.
It is 2:27 p.m. The temperature is 77.7 degrees Fahrenheit. The alarm on.
And if the alarm is on?
Snooze on.
We have the ability to have snooze on.
Snooze off.
Or off.
Alarm off.
And this alarm goes off for 1 minute. And it's basically one of these that just goes dit 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 dit. It's 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. You know, or whatever the alarm time is when it goes off. It's pretty loud here. Hopefully, you're picking this up.
It is 2:28 p.m. The temperature is 78.5 degrees Fahrenheit. The humidity is 51%.
And since I'm holding it here in my hand, right up to my mouth practically, and I'm breathing on it, you notice the temperature is rising rapidly, and the humidity level has went up a few pegs. So, it's not very big. You could put this in a bag and take it with you if you wanted. It's so, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches wide, about 3 inches tall, about 3 or 4 inches deep. It's a rectangular shaped. It would be easily placed in a bag, and I don't know how long the batteries work on it, but like I said, it's been running here over a month, and it's been doing just fine. That clock, like I said, is available at beyondsight.com, and it is $24.95. There's also a version of this, and I'm not sure about it, actually. If you want it, you definitely want them to make sure before they ship it out that it does do what it says. There's a $39.95 option that gives you an AM-FM radio. And I ordered one of these from MaxiAids that was supposed to be this and the radio. And when I got it, it wasn't as advertised. The website was incorrect, and it said it had temperature and humidity, and it had neither. So if you get this from Beyond Sight, you know, you might want to call them up first and say, hey, I'm interested in this, but I want the radio option unit, and have them check and make sure that it does indeed do temperature and humidity. Before you order it. I don't have a direct link for this. It's www.beyondsight.com. That's BEYONDSIGHT.com. It's on the clocks page, and it's the very first entry that they list on that page if you're interested in it. And I like it a lot. It's nice. Oops, hit my iPod there. I like it a lot. Like I said, I wanted something with humidity because it's nice to be able to tell in the summer and the winter. So, I hope you was able to hear that okay. I don't know how well that picked up on the mic. I'm using my headset mic, and it tends to cancel out noise that's very far away from it, but I put it pretty close up to the mic. So hopefully you were able to hear that okay. Let me see if we have any comments.
Home colon 100 direct message home mentions colon 4 of 2 Diana at Rixterthajeep. One more question. Re-energizer semicolon. What is the cost? About 10 minutes ago.
The energizer, most places that I checked on Google, it averaged anywhere from $80 to $100. I got lucky. I got it off of Woot on a daily deal, and I got it for $40, so it was really a steal. But, yeah, it's not real cheap, but it is a very versatile battery, and I'm sure it's well worth even the $100.
Can Peter Matchich at Rixterthajeep really like the voice on that clock about 5 minutes ago?
Oh, okay, good, good. You could hear it. Yeah, it's a good, clear voice. I like it. Some of these clocks and temperature devices and whatever have really lousy voices on them, but that does have a very nice voice to it, and I like it too.
Kieranel at Rickster, the geek sounding really good. Nice clock about 2 minutes ago.
Okay, great, Karen.
Kieranel at Rickster, the geek sounding.
Yeah, all right. And let's check our email real quick.
Unread Twitter direct message Jose Ort.
Okay.
F5 Outlook Express dialogue.
Don't think we have any new mail here, but let me refresh. Give this a second.
2 of 4 tasks have complete.
Yep, still downloading. We'll give it a minute here. Just make sure we don't have anybody commenting via email. I have another clock here I like a lot too. It's
list view, got it from Express message list, Jose.
Got it from MaxiAids a couple years back, and I know they still sell it. It's an atomic clock, and it has indoor and outdoor temperature with a wireless remote, and it's about $45, but it's a really great clock, too, and I like it a lot. Like I said, I've had it about 2 years, and maybe some point here we'll demonstrate it as well. All right, let's see if we got any mail.
27 messages, 5 unread, Twitter direct, Jose Ort.
And we do not. So, all right. Let's see what our time is.
2:32 p.m.
All right, 2:32. And just for grins and giggles, let's see how many.
Alt tab, shoot cast administrator dash Windows F5. Stream is up at 120. Stream is up at 128 kbps with 8 of 1,000.
Hey, hanging steady with 8. Great, 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 great. Glad to have all of you. Yeah, and like I said, I really hope this takes off. I'm always interested in letting everybody interact with me, and I love doing the pre-recorded demonstrations and stuff, but, you know, you can only do so much with a pre-recorded demonstration. You know, if people have questions, you know, like you had several questions now, I can answer them almost immediately. If I screw up, you know, and I've been known to screw up on demonstrations where I've said, you know, something works in a certain way, or you do this or you do that, or I couldn't figure out how to do something. And, you know, now you can just say, hey, you know, that's not right, or this is how you do it. And I think it's really going to do a lot for the podcasts and allow us to do a lot of different things, especially when I get more ways for you to interact. So I hope we can do this regularly. And, you know, get a good listener base. What I did here is last month I purchased a Shoutcast stream from Ultrahosts. That's http://, Ultrastreams, ultrastreams.us. And that's the same people that do Ultrahost, website providing. It's been a great deal. It's what I'm doing here is $7.50 a month, can have up to 1,000 listeners at any point. I can have 50 gigs a month of streaming. The nice thing about this is that most Shoutcast servers, you pay for the number of listeners. This, you pay for streaming, and only when people are listening. I could sit here and stream all day, and if nobody is listening, then I'm not being charged against my 50 gigs a month. So, really nice. Lets me go up to 128K MP3. This is currently being broadcasted out probably at too high of a stream rate, but I didn't feel like changing it. It's currently 44,100 for the sample rate, 128K MP3 stream in stereo. So it's probably a bit overkill for this type of a thing, but what I've been doing here the last few weeks, you know, just practicing and playing with it, and if you're on Twitter, you certainly know this. I've been streaming movies during the week, every few days at night, and we're playing a bunch of described movies. We did the Star Trek series, and now we're into the Star Wars series, and one day I did... We played Caddyshack and Airplane, you know, some comedies from the 80s, and we get several people in listening to it. I think I'm going to keep doing that. I don't think I can get into any trouble doing it, hopefully. Yeah, there goes my, there's the countdown timer, and that's saying it's done. Let's see if we can stop it. Okay, and that stopped it. I just hit the alarm off. A little more description on this clock. It's got a series of buttons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I believe, in a circular pattern with a center circular button in the middle of it that you press to...
It is 2:38 p.m. The temperature is 78 degrees.
To get your time.
The humidity is 48%.
Okay. And so that's not very hard to use. And you basically hear there how loud the alarm. That's the beep, beep, beep it does. But when it actually goes off at the alarm time, it does that and says what the current time is. And like I said, it does that for a minute. Okay, back to the details here of the stream. Like I said, we've been doing some movies in the evenings here, U.S. time, and I'd like to keep doing that as long as I can't get in any trouble for doing it. I don't want to have anybody knocking at my door wanting to take me to court for copyright violation, but hopefully that's not a problem. All right, let's see. What would we like to do next?
Wonder Radio.
Yeah, there you go. I have the iPod hooked up, and one of the things I'd like to talk about here briefly is the Salona iPod and iPhone and iPad protectors. Salona... donated one of these to me for the iPod Touch. It's the classic model. And what this does is it's one thing, it's a screen protector for the front of it. And two, it has tactile bumps on it.
100% battery power. One Pandora.
That they're in key places. Like here's one that's
battery power. Status bar item.
That right above it's the battery power.
AOL radio, Fox News. 2:37 p.m.
Status another one. Item. If I touch right Fox above News. it gives me the time.
Weather.
There's other tactile dots here. Like if you're on Safari, there's a place here on the right you can touch, and it'll put you in the address Pandora. Bar. Down music. Here at the bottom.
Videos. Music. Videos. Safari. App Store.
If you touch between, there's four tactile dots here at the bottom. If you touch between them, you...
App Store. Safari. Videos. Music.
You can get to those different things. Right above it...
Music.
It has the keyboard, the tactile keyboard, and landscape. Is this landscape? Yeah, this is landscape, the standard up and down. It has the keyboard here, videos, all the tactile Safari. Dots for the keyboard. So, and I found that to be real helpful, even in touch typing, because, you know, it makes you go in a straight line across if you're going across the row of the letters. And for me, it helps me do that quicker. And I must say, I really like it. It's a nice protector, protects the screen real well, and it definitely can speed you up on getting around. It's certainly not necessarily get around the screen to have this kind of a protector, but I like it. I think a lot of people out there would like it too. Those are available from www.solona.net, S-O-L-O-N-A. And that's the guy that does the Solona service to decrypt CAPTCHAs that, you know, you send in to him and he sends you a thing back saying what the CAPTCHA is, real similar to WebVism. But they also have this service on the website where they're selling the protectors. This one's $6. You'd have to look at the prices. There's all kinds of different combinations. There's one for the iPad that has a Braille dot area for the doing Braille on it. These are for the iPod 4 now, I believe, and the iPhone 4. And I definitely think they're worth the money. And like I said, this was donated to me, and they asked me to do a review of it. And I've used it now for a couple of months. He was probably wondering when I was going to get around to my review. But I definitely wanted to do that. And I definitely give it a thumbs up. I like these a lot. And if you're having any troubles getting around the screen or using the keyboard, the tactile dots on this definitely can speed you up. And it's definitely been a help to me. And I plan on buying another one. I've got this on here, but it's not quite straight. It's off by it's off by about an eighth of an inch, and it doesn't affect what I do. But I would like to buy another one just to support and, you know, give my thanks for, you know, making these, and hopefully you all will too. Like I said, that's www.solona.net, S-O-L-O-N-A. And I hope you go there and check those out and purchase one. It helps keep the Solona service running. It's just a way you can get some money in to keep things going, because it is a free service. And I'm sure all of you know, nothing's free. You know, he pays money to keep this up and running, you know, the website and hosting fees, domain fees, and all that. So check it out. And like I said, I definitely give it a thumbs up. I like it a lot. Well, let's see here if I can do some of these newer iPad or iPod apps I've got. I haven't shown any off since the first podcast I did on this. Let me see if I've got any comments.
Retweeted under mentions :2 of 214 I Peter Matchich at Rixturthegeek. The fact there are no new males means Twitter rules. Smile about 10 minutes ago.
That's true. I definitely prefer Twitter.
Checking for new mentions.
Over email any day anymore. I don't belong to a lot of email lists or anything anymore, because Twitter gives me information much, much more quickly and a lot of times much, much more accurately.
Kieran L. at Rickster the Geek. I want an iPod Touch for cost. Should I just try and find the third gen about a minute ago?
Well, the third gen's are coming down somewhat, and Apple did reduce the prices on them after the fourth gens come out. So you might look around, see what you can find. You might get a pretty good deal. I did see a 32 gig on one of the buy sell trade lists the other day for $200, and you know, used, of course. And that's a good price. I paid $340 for mine new, so that's a pretty good price. Yeah, you might wait around if you're not interested in the iPod Touch 4s. I was thinking about the iPod Touch 4th generations. You know, they just come out, I don't know, a week or two ago. And they have the camera on the front and the back now. And they use the iPhone 4's processor, so they're faster. But a couple of things I didn't like was it still only has 256 megs of internal RAM that it runs programs in. So the iPhone has 512. I'd much rather see the iPod Touch have 512, because when you're running the iOS 4 on it, it definitely takes up more memory, and you have less memory for running programs. The 4.1 update has fixed that a lot. My Touch is a lot more stable now than it was with the iOS 4.0 and the 4.01 and 02 updates. I'm now running the 4.1 update that came out last week, or now the week before. And I must say, it's much, much more stable here on the third-gen devices. I was having crashes and stuff, you know, on apps, and I haven't noticed any of that here lately. So I think you could do fine with a third-gen if you can get one at a price you like. Make sure you don't get an 8-gig third-gen, because those do not have voiceover at all. And the iPod fourth generation, the Touch fourth generation, all three models, the 8, the 6, or what is that? No, 8, 32, and 64 gigs all have voice. So you could buy an 8 gig for, I believe, about $229. You know, if you really just wanted to have the fourth gen. One of the other things I don't like about the fourth gen is the rear camera. Apple, I'm kind of disappointed, because Steve Jobs, in his address on the iPhone 4 and the iPod 4, or well, the iPod 4 here a couple weeks ago, said that, you know, basically implied that the iPod 4th gen was basically the same thing as the iPhone 4th gen without, you know, the GPS and, you know, the phone itself. And that's been determined not to be exactly the truth. Like I said, only has 256 megs instead of 512. And the camera on the back is very poor quality. And I've verified this through a couple sources now, so I'm positive that this is the truth. The iPhone 4 has a 5-megapixel rear camera. Very, very high quality, LED flash and everything. Very, very good camera. Can do OCR and barcode scanning and things like that that we want to be able to do, because it's so much cheaper on these devices than it is on a lot of the other blindness devices that are made by some of the AT companies that cost very large amounts. The iPhone and conceivably the iPod 4th gen, you know, we were hoping would be able to do this, but the camera on the rear of the iPod 4th gen is only a 0.7 megapixel camera. Very, very low quality camera, and I must say I'm extremely disappointed at this, and I absolutely will not buy a 4th gen iPod Touch basically for that, because that's what I wanted to be able to do, is OCR and barcode scanning and all these other neat things that people are doing with the iPhone. So I'm going to wait and get me an iPhone, I think. I'm going to wait and see if Verizon has these starting in, you know, after January here. And I'm going to wait to do that. The iPod 4th gen does have an internal microphone now, where the 3rd gen does not. But you can plug microphones into this via the dock plug, I understand. You can get some pretty nice microphones for it too. So yeah, I guess a short answer to my long rambling here is, yeah, if you want to wait, I think you'll be able to get some good deals here pretty soon. But as for me, I'm going to hang on to mine, and like I said, just see what happens with the iPhone, because I'm kind of disappointed with the specs on the iPod 4th gen.
Kieranel at Rickster the Geek, if there was a 16-gig model, I would go for that. 16-gig is all I need, about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that it's just an 8-gig, a 32, and a 64. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong there, but I believe that's what they are. And the 8-gig is definitely the cheapest. It's $229. I forget what the 32 and the 64 is, but they're considerably more money.
Kieranel at Rickster the Geek, even my Nokia 6210 Navigator has a 3.2 MB and it can handle BOCBS reader fine, about 49 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Kieranel at Rickster the Geek, even my Nokia 60.
Okay. All right. So there we go. We see we did another interaction here through Twitter, and you know that's great. I love this because it allows me to go off in different directions than maybe what I had planned on. And this is fun. I love this, and I hope you all do too. Let's see what
Shootcast administrator dev 5. Shootcast server version 1. Wrapping to bottom. Stream is up at 128 kbps with 8 of 1,000.
Still got 8 listeners. Great, 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 great. This is a great first start. I'm not expecting 50, 60, or 100 listeners because I know we're just not going to get that. But, you know, I consider 8 listeners very, very good. And hopefully as people listen to the archives, this will be archived, providing the Shoutcast encoders create that for me. And I have no reason to doubt that they won't, but I shouldn't say that because they'll probably crap right now on me and say, oh, he wants me to have a recording. Guess what? I'm not going to make one. So let's hope that doesn't happen. And I'll get this posted up on the website here tonight or tomorrow for people to listen to that didn't get a chance to participate live. Okay, what time is it?
2:51 p.m.
2:51. Ah, good. Boy, we've been going along here now for nearly an hour. Let me see if there's anything I can do on the iPod that would be interesting.
App Store. Safari. Videos. Music. Page 2 of 4. Fox News. AOL Radio. Pandora.
I know some of these I've demonstrated in the first podcast that I did up several months ago, so I'm not going to redo these.
Wonder Radio. Oops. OOTunes. Wonder Radio. Skype. Space Geek. iBlink Radio. Etchafin. Top 100S. Weatherbug. NOAA News. 47 new items. Space Geek. iBlink Radio. Etchafin. Top 100S. Weatherbug.
Weatherbug's pretty cool. Weatherbug used to be a real favorite of mine back when I could...
Weatherbug. An error occurred while trying to download current condition data from Weatherbug servers. Would you like to retrieve? An error occurred while... No. Button. Retrieve. Button. Com. Ors. Weatherbug. Pro. Locations. Button.
Weatherbug was a real favorite of mine back when I could see. It's a program that sits down in the system tray and gives you real-time weather information from areas around town. If you watch your local news, you see they have these local temperature forecasts that tell you the temperature in various locations around your town. And that's what Weatherbug does, and this updates every minute, unlike the National Weather Service that you get the temperatures from the airport that generally only update every hour. You can get, you know, local weather conditions, temperatures and stuff. It gives you, it gives you a lot of things we can't use, but, you know, it gives you radar maps, weather maps, webcams from various areas around the country and things like that. But it wasn't accessible on the PC, and I wrote back to him in 2005 saying, you know, I've you know, lost my sight, and I really love Weatherbug, and I hope you'll make us accessible. And they never did, but now they have this on the iPod and the iPhone.
Locations, button, help, button, arrow left off, dimmed, button, Akron, oh, arrow right off, dimmed, button, Akron Summit County Public Library, 8 mph, 84 degrees, sine, F. Last updated, September 23rd, 2010, 2:53, 0 p.m. So far today, high, 86 degrees sine F, low, 63 degrees sine F, rain, 0.00, gusts, W 16 miles per hour, heat index, 85 degrees sine F, humidity, 46%, dew point, 62 degrees sine F, no active alerts, Thursday's forecast. Mostly sunny, click here, link. Mostly sunny, near record highs in the upper 80s, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. High, 90 degrees sine F. Low, 67 degrees sine F.
And as you can hear, it's not perfect. There's a couple things that aren't quite, you know, where it said the winds were at 8 miles an hour. You know, you'd have to realize that's what it was telling you. But overall, it gives you all the information usable enough. You know, it's not too hard to understand that. And I like this because, you know, you get information. This is getting information from downtown Akron, whereas, you know, I can get different temperatures around town, and sometimes those vary a lot. But I like this a lot. This is you can get this either free, or I believe the paid app is $1.99, and I've got both. I don't really know exactly what the difference is between the WeatherBug and the WeatherBug Pro, but since it was accessible and I liked it, I paid the money. I like to support things when they're accessible and they have a paid version.
Home. Weather NOAA News 47 Scanner 911. Page 2 of 4.
Let's see here.
Pandora.
Oops. And
weather. Page 1 of 4. Page 2 of 4. Weather. Page 3 of 4. Page 3 of 4. Music. Fox 8 Flash. Syst, Audible, Zany, Free, Gala, Apple, iBooks, Apple Store.
Okay, let's see what else we got here that I can, that's interesting to demonstrate.
Last, FM, Alarm Clock.
Yeah, the Alarm Clock app's pretty nice. It's a little hard to get set, but once you understand how to use it, it's pretty nice. It's, it allows you to do some things that the alarm clock that comes with the iPod Touch and the iPhone and whatever don't do, like setting different sounds. This will allow you to set different sounds and do a few other things. So it's nice.
Free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I never did get the free Wi-Fi to work very well. It's not as accessible as I would like it to be.
Zany Touch.
Zany Touch. This is a really fun game, and I just cannot get the hang of this. People report their scores up on Twitter, and they got all these really, really high scores. This is a Bop It style game for the iPod Touch or the iPhone. And what you do is you turn the voiceover off to play the game, and it's self-voiced, and it tells you, like, you know, flick it or shake it or a couple other, you know, it uses the gestures that you use to run it. And I've just never, every time I do the shake it, I just never get it right. So I haven't been able to get a very high count on this game. But this is a great little game if you really, you know, want to play games. I've not found a whole lot of games personally that were accessible, but this one is. You have to turn the voiceover off to play it. You do that just after you select your skill level, and you quickly hit your home button 3 times, you know, to turn voiceover off, and then the game starts playing. So
Audible.
I like Audible a lot. It's still a little quirky, but it's definitely getting better. That allows you to play your Audible content from audible.com on the iPhone or the iPod or the iPad. And I like this a lot. It's kind of slow to download, especially the enhanced audio versions. It takes quite a while to do a book, but I've listened to several books on it and I like it. The only complaint I really have about it, and so do most other people, is it doesn't have an adjustable speed rate. So you have to listen at, you know, standard speed. And a lot of us are used to listening to books now, audiobooks, you know, quite a bit faster. I'm getting pretty good at listening to books at, you know, twice the speed or two and a half times the speed, you know, with the Victor Stream and the NLS player, you know, with the pitch, the variable speed without affecting the pitch. For a long time, I used to listen to books at standard speed and didn't really care, but I've been learning now to listen to them faster. And like most people, you know, we do enjoy getting through the books. And a lot of us are used to listening quite a bit quicker, so.
System.
System's a nice little, this is a little utility app.
System. Memory.
And this will tell you various things about the device. This is the memory section here. And if I two-finger swipe up.
Memory, RAM, 253 megabytes. Used memory, 209 megabytes. Button, wired, 42 megabytes, 30.97%. Active, 11 megabytes, 8.39%. Inactive, 6 megabytes, 4.67%. Free, 77 megabytes, 56.12%. Unfiltered graph, graph segment format, selected. Memory, button, process, button, disk, button, battery,
tells you various things there, such as total RAM and active RAM being used, inactive RAM. I forget exactly what wired RAM is and how much free memory you got. This is nice to go through. Sometimes you need to reboot. You see you're running low on memory, you can reboot. And this kind of helps give you an idea of when to do that.
Unfiltered graph, process, button. Selected, memory, button.
And we have memory. It'll tell us memory.
Process, button.
Shows processes.
Disk, button.
Disk.
Battery,
battery
button. System, button.
System.
Battery, button.
Go to battery.
Alert. Maintenance. Please full charge your battery. It is important to full charge once a month for longest battery life. 1. Let battery run down 20% to 10%. 2. Then run system manager and plug in the charger. 3. Try to avoid using this device during full cycle maintenance charge. 4. It will take extra time to perform maintenance and extend battery life after battery. Please full charge your... Okay. Please full... Okay. Button. Selected, system, battery, button, battery info, 100%, button, unplugged, tips, button, settings, button, full recharge time, 0000, last full charged with system, 2010-07-16, standby, 300-00-0500, internet 3G, talk time, 0500-0900, Wi-Fi internet, audio, 30-00-01-40, :3D game, video, 10:00:03:20 :2D game 0320 disk button.
What I think it's trying to tell you there is how long you could expect to do various things on the battery, you know, such as audio and Wi-Fi and things like that at its current settings. And I don't really mess with this a whole lot.
Disk button.
Let's do disk.
Selected disk info. Disk info, total disk space, 59.41 GB, 100%, used space, 1.47 GB, 2.48%, free space, 57.94 GB, 97.52%, total songs, 19, memory, button, process, button, selected, disk, memory, button.
And I basically use the iPod Touch for apps more than I do storing my own music on it, so I've got tons and tons of room, and someday I'll get around to putting some music on here, but... For right now, it's basically just apps. But this is a nice little handy program, and it's in the utilities section in the App Store, and it's free, I believe.
Home. System. Fox 8 Flash. Pedometer.
This pedometer works. It's accessible. I've played around with it a little bit. It's not bad, and it works on the iPod Touch. I'm not sure how that works without GPS or anything, but it does work.
Sleep. Energizer. Ibarometer.
Another little weather app. And this works. It's
Ibarometer, hyphen, dimmed.
It's nothing more than it just tells you barometric pressure.
Button. 30.10 in, dimmed.
And it, you know, on the screen, it has an antique-style looking barometer, so it's nice to look at, but it's free.
Home. Free weather.
I don't like free weather. This is another free weather app, but I just, here, I'll bring it up, but I don't really like it a whole lot.
Free weather, weather station, temperature. Temperature, 0.0, 86.5, degree sign, wind, 0.0, 1.9, humidity, 0.0, 43.0%, conditions 4. Refresh. USSI. Refresh. Conditions 4.
Yeah, okay. But it's kind of weird. I don't know what all the zeros are about. I mean, it works and it gives you information, but I like WeatherBug a lot better, and it gives you more relevant and updated information, where this just does it, I think, every hour or so.
Home. Safari.
Oops.
Videos. Music. Page. Weatherbug. Free memory.
Free memory will go and tell you it's a free program, and it tells you all your processes and stuff running. It's kind of similar to System.
With a bug.
Let's see here.
Page 404. I'm Plus.
IM Plus is real nice. Now, this is a paid app, and it's $10. And the paid app is accessible. I think the free app is accessible now, too. I did go ahead and pay for this because I do like I said, I do like to support companies that go out of their way to make apps accessible when they're asked to. And they did. This allows you to do instant messaging through things like MSN, Yahoo, AOL, and other services. And I've used it a little bit just for MSN Messenger, and it's easy to use. It does work good. It's very accessible. If you use the iPod and things like that, you know, the MSN Messenger that Microsoft put out isn't accessible. You know, shame on Microsoft for doing such a thing. I really don't understand Microsoft these days. But this is nice. You know, it's a good program. It allows you to use multiple messaging services. You know, kind of like Miranda on the PC. And I like it. It's very nice, very accessible. And I know it's a bit pricey, but I think it's well worth the money.
Facebook.
And there's good old Facebook. I don't really like this. I think it's still a little bit crash-prone, but this will allow you to access Facebook on your iPod Touch or iPhone or iPad.
iHeartRadio.
And there's iHeartRadio. That's the CBS radio.
Netflix,
I can't show you because I don't have an account. And some people say it's not very accessible either. I don't really know.
Why? Music.
Yahoo Music, that works. It's accessible enough to use.
CBS Radio,
same thing as Yahoo Music, pretty much. And it's easy enough to use.
Slacker.
Slacker, I like Slacker. Slacker's real nice, like Pandora. I like Pandora best, then Slacker, and then I guess Last.fm. But what these apps do is allow you to listen to whatever music you like and basically customize it to your taste. You can pick songs and thumb up them or thumb down them, and it learns to play streams based on your musical tastes. And nice little program, and it's accessible too. It works real well.
Page 404.
Okay. And
page 404.
So I've really been liking the iPod Touch here. I've had it since April, and I really, really do like it. And I've been showing it off down at my local blind center. I've been doing a class on Tuesdays. I volunteer Tuesdays to do a class at 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And I've been showing different kinds of devices. We started out with the NLS digital players. And here in the last two or three, 4 weeks now, we've been I've been demonstrating the iPod Touch, and, you know, everybody, well, you can't use that. That's a touchpad, you know. And I started showing people, you know, the various things you could do with this. And, I mean, they were just hooked. I mean, they love listening to it and hearing about it. And that's the kind of thing I like to do. I like to show people out there there are things out there that they don't know about and that they can use that maybe they think they can't use. And that's what my class does, because these people I work with, they're not technical at all. These are usually people older than me. And it's been real fun just being able to demonstrate things like this and showing people, yeah, you can use an iPhone. You know, if you want an iPhone, you can definitely learn to use it. So that's been a lot of fun. And one of the other things, let me check mentions here real quick, and then I'm going to talk a little bit. I told you in the last BGZ podcast I was going on a canoe trip, and I'll talk about that here in a minute. But let me check my mentions.
Jeff Bishop at Rickster the Geek. Honestly, I think 16 is fine for most people about 19 minutes ago.
And you know what? I really, really agree. If you're just going to use this for apps like I'm doing, you don't need 64 gigs or 32 gigs. You can do it. Like I said, I'm only using a little over a gig here, and I've got 4 pages of apps. So, you know, if you don't need it for music per se, yeah, you could definitely get away with a smaller model.
Peter Matchich at Rixtertha Giga DJ __K agreed about the size. Got a 32 gig touch 3G and my music is 5GB 6 with some podcasts and 0.7 GB of apps about 18 minutes ago.
Yeah, he's using it basically for music. But like I said, plenty of room. You know, if you put your music in 128K, which is what a lot of people do, you can put a lot of music into 5 or 6 gigs. So, I mean, I think even an 8 gig could suffice, you know, the 4th gen iPod Touch if you wanted that. I certainly think that's doable because you could put 5 or 6 gigs of music on it and still have 2 gigs for apps and, you know, be in really good shape.
Peter Matchich at Rixtertha Giga DJ __K, which barely fills it up, about 18 minutes ago. Kieran L. at Pittermatch at Rixtertha Giga agreed here. Suppose the 64 gig is a replacement for the 16 gig touch as there isn't a 64 gig iPhone, about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, I guess there's just not as much room in the iPhone for additional memory, or maybe they just didn't feel that anybody needed it, so. Yeah, that's right. There are no 64 gig iPhones.
Jeff Bishop at Rixtertha Giga, is weather bug for the iPhone free about 15 minutes ago?
Yes, there is a free version. And like I said, there's a 99 cent or a $1.99. I really don't know the differences. It may just be there's no advertising, but they're virtually the same product. And that's in the weather section on the App Store. Okay, let's see here. What else?
Jeff Bishop at Rixtertha Giga, does it do storm alerts about 15 minutes?
Yes, it does. It does do storm alerts. And I haven't had it do one yet here, but I believe it pops up a push notification to the screen for you. But yes, it does forecasts and storm alerts for your local area. And the weird thing about that is when you used it on the desktop, back when I used it, when I could see it, it actually looks like a bug in the system tray, and it looks like a ladybug actually. And when a storm alert is going, it goes, it makes this chirp, 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 chirp noise. And you see the wings on the little system tray going in and out. So it's really neat. It doesn't do that on the iPod, I don't think, but, yes, it definitely does storm alerts.
Peter Matchich at Rixtertha Giga, incidentally, people can't tweet Zany Touch scores anymore. At Twitter switched off basic auth and ZT wasn't updated about 14 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I haven't seen any Zany Touch updates here on Twitter lately. So, yeah, okay, that explains why that happened then.
Kieran L. at Pittermatch at Rixtertha Giga, I wouldn't really like the iPod for music. I have an iPod Nano 4th Gen right now. I want it for the apps about 14 minutes ago.
Yeah, and there's this new iPod Nano 6th Gen. I don't know how many apps you can run on it, but it does run some form of the iOS software, and it has a screen on it, and I'd like to know more about that, because people say you could wear that thing like a watch on your wrist, and it would be a really, really cool thing if you could run a bunch of apps on it, too.
Peter Matchich at Rixtertha Giga, also on the topic of games, you should try Orify Addicting about 14 minutes ago.
Yeah, I haven't looked at too many games. I you know, most of the games just really aren't accessible, but yeah, I probably should see what is out there.
Peter Matchich at DJ __K at Rixtertha Giga, I use my touch for everything. I love its voice control as far as music about 11 minutes ago.
Oh, that's interesting. How what do you do? Put a microphone on your iPod Touch to do the voice control, because otherwise you don't have that ability without a mic.
Kieran L. at Pittermatch at Rixtertha Giga, I think the voice control is good. As demos I've heard of it sound good, and my Nokia's one is inaccurate about 8 minutes ago.
Yeah, I've that's something I've not done is trying to do voice control on it.
Peter Matchich at DJ __K at Rixtertha Giga, the Nokia voice control, yuck, it compares to the built-in TTS talk like that, and it's better about 8 minutes ago.
Yeah, okay. We got a lot of back and forth content here on Twitter. I like this.
Peter Matchich at DJ __K at Rixtertha Giga, I'm serious. Thanks to Kevin Weissy for that tip about 8 minutes ago. Kieran L. at Rixtertha Giga, Kevin Chow 89 said Implus 3 looks accessible now about 8 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Saying that the IM Plus free version appears to be accessible now, so that's good. It does have advertisements, but you know, that's all right, I guess. You know, if you don't want to pay. I just like to pay, like I said. I like to support the companies that do the accessible things. And yeah, it is a bit pricey, but it's a good app.
Kiernel at Peter Machit Rixterthaji Garili about 8 minutes. Peter Machit at Rixterthaji, if you don't have a Netflix account, why do you get the app about 7 minutes ago?
You know, that's a good question. Hey, just call me stupid. I'm trying to decide if I want to get a Netflix account or not, but I just grabbed it. You know, it was free. Don't have to pay for it, so. Yeah, that's a good question. Why did I get it? You know, just for the hell of it, that's why. But I might get an account.
Peter Machich at Rixterthaji, if you don't have a Netflix, at Peter Machich.
Okay, let's check mail real quick.
Alt tab, BGZ inbox dash Outlook Express list view Outlook 28 messages 6 unread working online tab folder list review BGZ tab unread Twitter direct message from Jeff Bishop 9.
Okay.
F5 Outlook Express dial.
We'll update this one more time. How's our time going here?
3:15 p.m.
Oh wow, hour and 15 minutes.
List view Outlook Express message list unread Twitter direct message.
Okay, we don't have any email. And had all kinds of... That's great. I like the Twitter interaction, and that's what I really like. You know, the email's nice, and I understand not everybody's on Twitter, but I love the Twitter interaction. And you see there, we can interact real quickly here, and that allows us to do a lot of neat things here. And I like this a lot. I'm not sure. I really don't have anything else planned here today. I was going to talk about the canoe trip I did on Sunday through my Summit County chapter of ACB. We did a 4.5 mile canoe trip from Kent, Ohio, up river back up to Cuyahoga Falls. We went up the good old Cuyahoga River. And that was really interesting. I haven't canoed or kayaked or anything like that since I was a little kid. We used to go to a state park down here in Ohio that we did these kayak and canoe things. But that's probably been 25 years for me, or you know, it's been a long, long, long time. I was a kid then, and so this was really interesting. I wasn't sure what I was going to get into. You know, most of us are either blind or visually impaired, but what we did is we had two-man canoes, and, you know, I had a person up in the front paddling and a person in the back steering and paddling, and fortunately for me, I had a sighted guy from the university, Kent State University, and he volunteered, and he's a canoe person, and he helped me up the river, and we did great. So it was a lot of fun. I wasn't sure what I was in for, and I didn't know I was going to be paddling for nearly 4.5 miles. So I got my exercise that day, let me tell you. My arms were sore that night and the next day, and boy, my abdominals, my lower back, my upper thighs. Oh, my God. I was in a lot of agony that night, but I tell you what, I loved it. We're going to do it again next year. We're going to try and get a couple other counties involved, surrounding counties involved. We had 5 boats that did the trip, so we had 10 people, and it was great. We had a picnic afterwards and our little meeting, and it was a lot of fun, so I can't wait to do that again next year. And if you guys ever get a chance to go out and do some canoeing, it's a blast. I think you'll really, really like it. Okay, let me check.
Peter Machich at Rixterthaji, the headset has a mic. You hold down home and say, i.e., play artist David Guetta and it will do it, about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you could use the unit comes with a little earbuds. I don't like the earbuds, but you're right, it does have a microphone in it. We'll have to do that here on the next live cast we do here. I don't have access to those earbuds right now, so can't do that. But that would be interesting to demonstrate that, and want to do that. One of the nice things, since we're talking about the iPods and the iPhones and stuff, is this iOS 4.1 update is phenomenal. You can use a Bluetooth keyboard now with the phone or the touch, and you can put the thing away. You don't even have to interact on the screen now. You can do all the navigation and typing and everything right from a little Bluetooth keyboard. And I want to get one of those here. I definitely want to try this out, because you could get one of these little tiny Bluetooth keyboards and you could basically put your iPod in your pocket and if you're not really good or comfortable with the touch gesturing, you certainly could get away from that. And the 4.2 update's supposed to come out, I guess, in November, and I guess there's supposed to be even more goodies. So, I mean, this just continues to get better and better and better, and I really like it. I love my iPod Touch. I haven't been as thrilled with my Mac Mini. I'm still trying to get used to that thing, but I love my iPod Touch, and I just can't recommend enough that people, you know, go somewhere and try one out, because I think you'll really love it. And it is great for the blind community, I think, because this is a mainstream product right off the shelf. Don't have to buy anything to make it work accessibly. And it is just opening up so many avenues for us. I just can't praise it enough. I love it. And I do a lot with mine nowadays, too. So it's good to hear that other people are, too.
Here now at Rickster the Geek, thanks for reminding me. Haven't checked my mail all day. Oops, about 3 minutes ago.
Hey, happy to help.
Here now at Rickster the Geek, thanks for reminding me.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Unless somebody has anything else, a question or something they want to remind me about, I guess we're going to wrap up here in the next couple of minutes.
3:20 p.m.
I've been going on for an hour and 20 minutes now, and it's been great. I like this. I hope to do this. I don't know that we'll get to do it every week. Just depends on how busy I get with other things and customers and things like that. But I do want to do this regularly, at least twice a month, maybe a little more. So I will put up on the website, basically I'll try to do at least, several days in advance when something's going to happen, because I'm and who knows, I may decide to do one out of the blue, but I'll try to give you enough notice that you can prepare for it. And I guess they're generally going to be in the afternoons, Eastern U.S. time. We've went over this before with people. I don't know that there's any perfect time. I know some people work and things like that, but it's best for me in the afternoons. Nobody's around here, and I don't get as much background noise and stuff as when people are at home. So I kind of like to do these in the afternoon, and I will archive this, so you'll definitely be able to listen to it from the website as well.
Here now at Rickster the Geek, why not plug NVDA just for the hell of it? Plug 2010.2 beta 1.
Yeah, NVDA. I understand that I've seen this on Twitter earlier, and I haven't looked at it. Apparently, they've won some kind of an Innovators Award. So that's great. I don't use NVDA a lot here, but that keeps getting better and better and better. And there is a new beta out for 2010. And I haven't looked at that yet here, but that's a great program, too. And I think at some point, possibly that's going to start really giving the JAWS and Window Eyes and System Access people some competition. I don't use it a lot, but I understand it is getting much, much better. It has very, very good Firefox support, and I guess has good IE support, too. And, it's certainly getting there. And people keep asking me to do a demo on that. I really need to get that installed, I guess, one of these days and do some kind of demonstration with it.
Peter Matchich at Rickster the Geek, for your information, I just confirmed IM+3 is accessible as seen in the changelog. We'll be trying it now about 3 minutes ago.
Ah, good, 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 good. The IM+3 free version is accessible, and that's been verified, so that's good. And that's a good way to try it out. If you decide you want to pay for it later, that's fine. But, if you just want it for free, it's working. So that's great.
Peter Matchich at Rickster the Geek, for your information, I just...
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know what else to talk about here. And I don't want to just ramble on forever and ever and ever. I know you guys want good information, not just me sitting here rambling. As I said... on the last Blind Geek Zone podcast. Like I said, I'm doing ACB Radio Interactive now on Friday evenings, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, till 8 o'clock Eastern. And I do a music show there, and I actually do DJing and play classic rock from 60s, 70s, and 80s. And that's been interesting. This will be my third week here tomorrow. And that's fun. That's a lot of work. I mean, I'm even more comfortable here. I don't know why, but and maybe I'll start getting more comfortable on the air. But I get real jittery on the ACB Interactive, and I just feel like I'm a lot more not as relaxed as I am here. I feel relaxed here right now. I'm not the slightest bit nervous talking to people live here. But I get that way for some reason on the Interactive. But if you want to listen to that, like I said, that's Friday evenings. And that's at www.interactive.acbradio.org. And we use Twitter there a lot, too, for song requests and comments. And so, you know, I use Twitter, you know, for everything like this now. And I do that on the radio show, too. And starting next week, I'm going to be extending to 3 hours on that. I'll start at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. So if you're interested in that, I certainly would love to see you there and get some song requests. That's what makes the show interesting, is people requesting different songs and stuff. So that's been really fun, and I enjoy doing that too. And it's just one more thing I'm involved in here. Next Thursday evening, on Serotalk, a podcast, Thursday 9 p.m. Eastern, I believe it is, I'll be participating there. So that's going to be fun. I haven't been on anywhere in a while. I was on Main Menu back at New Year's Eve at the beginning of the year, but I haven't been on any shows anywhere this year. So this will be fun, and I've always wanted to get involved more with Serotech. So that'll be fun talking with all of them there, and we'll be talking about quite a few different things. So hope you'll tune into that as well. All right, let's check our mentions here one more time, see if there's any last thoughts, questions, whatever.
Kieranel at Rickster the Geek, just as long as they are good time for the UK, okay, about 4 minutes ago.
Right. And the afternoon here, I think, does present a good time for the UK. So, yeah, I know. If I do it at night, then I cut out Europe. If I do it in the afternoon, then I, you know, the West Coast, I kind of cut out. I know it's not perfect, and you can't please everybody. So, you know, we'll probably stick around this time, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, which would be, 4 hours later in the UK, or 5 hours here pretty soon, I guess, once we fall back to standard time.
Kieranel at Rickster the Geek, just as long as they are good. Kieranel at Rickster the Geek.
Okay, well, I think everybody that stayed here all this time is
BGZ inbox F5. Outlook at alt tab. BGZ inbox alt tab. Shootcast administrator F5. Shootcast stream is up at 128 kbps with 8 of 1,000.
And we still have 8 listeners, so that's great. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I was hoping to at least, you know, have half a dozen or more, and we certainly did that. And it's great for a first podcast. But all right, I do believe we're going to wrap this up now. Thank you for everybody that participated. It was a blast. I really, really liked it. And we're going to do this again real soon, hopefully. And if anybody has any suggestions as to what they'd like to talk about next time, you know, let me know on Twitter or, like I said, through email. That's rharman@ blind-geek-zone.net. Just send me an email if you want to hear something next time or have something discussed. Let me know, and we can certainly do that. Okay, I'm going to stop now and shut the stream down. The stream will be up here and there. I really don't have a time schedule. I'd like to do more things with it, you know, get some more content from other places, and, you know, maybe stream it throughout the day. You know, so if anybody out there is interested in providing content that I could restream, you know, during the week or whatever, during the day or night or whatever, if you want to have your stuff, you know, out there, I'd be more than happy to do that. But right now we just kind of have this one show, and, you know, it's a start, and, you know, hopefully we'll grow and, you know, get some new content. But, all right, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we'll do this again real soon.